It's time for Jaguar Zone. I am your host, Jeremy the Impact York, bringing you my awesome, amazing take, as I guess it's self-described, of the Jaguars week and everything that happened and everything like that. I'm scrambling today just for the simple fact that just super excited with the way everything turned out. You know, things we're going to get into, we're going to talk about the win on Sunday against the Giants. As, if I'm not mistaken, this particular host was able to predict. So hopefully you listened to me on that, and if you didn't, that's okay. I have been wrong in the past. Gonna tell you about some cool things that happened this week, some stories I've heard as well from various news outlets and sources, and good friends of mine as well. And of course, we're going to preview the Houston Texans-Jacksonville Jaguars game coming up this weekend at the bank. Before I get into the game against the Giants, I do want to say that I had a very good friend of mine from high school who took her mom to the game. Her mom's actually a Giants fan, unfortunately. It happens. Had some tickets for the games, took her mom to the game, being a Giants fan, and my friend lives in Jacksonville, and I was talking to her about it, and I said, yeah, Everbank is a great place to watch a game. It's one of my favorite stadiums I've been to. I look forward to going to it many times in the near future for sure, but just overall in general, I like a lot of things that the bank is doing, with the new pools and the boards, and I told her to just look around and give me feedback. I didn't really give her a lot of pointers per se. I told her, obviously, where the cool pregame stuff was with the Teal Street Hooligans and Bull City Brigade. Probably being a Giants fan, I don't know if they made it to that one. If so, they missed a really cool thing because it was alumni week. And I'll get into that in a minute. But just overall, even being visiting fans per se, she said they had a great time. The Jacksonville fans, you guys, as usual, were great and very hospitable and very helpful when they had questions about where something was or certain things. And you didn't mind them being Giants fans, even though this game was quite good. It kind of went up one way and then down the rest of the way, and it was when it came crashing down for the Giants, ultimately the Jaguars were able to pick up the victory. But before we get into talking about the game, like I said, it was alumni week. It's very funny that it was alumni week, seeing how Tom Coughlin, the current Giants head coach, used to be the head coach here in Jacksonville. I thought he did a pretty good job in Jacksonville. He was let go, but last time I checked, that was a different owner. And Shad Khan likes the guys he has, and I agree with him. The cool thing about that, if you went to the Hooligan tailgate, do this thing called the Circle Up, where you run in a circle, drink the beverage of your choice. It does not have to be an adult beverage. Does not. Just want to put that out there. Don't feel like you're forced. Dr. Pepper is quite good after doing this, especially a cold one. Cold Dr. Pepper. It's one of my favorites. You run around the circle, high-fiving everybody. You do the chant. A lot of times they vary it up. Most of the time it's Go Jags or Go Jaguars. And then you shotgun that particular beverage. Great time. Fred Taylor and Jimmy Smith, definitely two of the more popular and cooler alumni of the Jaguars, were seen tailgating and ultimately circling up as well, thanks to our good friend at Downer Jag Fan, who snagged that picture of them circling up. I thought that was really cool, and kudos to him on taking that picture. I know the Hooligans and the Bold City Brigade gave him props for taking that picture. Good job, buddy. Hoping to have you on pretty soon as well, so when you do listen to this, we'll be talking soon about having all of our awesome guests back on very shortly. Maybe all at once at the end. I don't know. We'll figure something out, but I thought it was very cool that Jimmy Smith and Fred Taylor were circling up with the guys and girls of those great organizations and groups. I know they had some fundraiser drives going as well. That was really cool. But you probably didn't tune in to hear me talk about a tailgate group, even though I will and give the mad props to all the cool things those guys do. You know, even Jackson likes what they do and has seen down there many times. The thing that I'm still a little excited about is the Jaguars won. And it's not like, wow, I can't believe the Jaguars won, because remember, I predicted it. I told you the Giants were very vulnerable. And the thing that the Jaguars do right, the Giants aren't necessarily good at stopping or containing. Now, I know it didn't look this way because at halftime it was 21-3, with the three coming pretty out of nowhere. It was kind of random, but, you know, Scobie's that good. You know, 21-3 at halftime, some of the people that I was watching the game with was even like, man, I would turn that. You know, it's probably not going to be able to. No, you got to bear with them, because I saw by the end of the half exactly the matchups I was starting to see. I knew Rashad Jennings was going to run well for them. I won't lie, he's on one of my fantasy teams. He racks up good points. I was hoping he wouldn't rack up that many good points. I believe I had him on the bench because I didn't want him to do it against Jacksonville. You know, it happens. He got his scores. He got his yards and everything. And I think he had 26 carries, a little under 100 yards, 2 rushing touchdowns. I mean, that's just that's just how he is. He's a good runner. I wouldn't mind having him in Jacksonville, but I also like Denard Robinson. Bortles broke out some big, big runs. I was very excited to see those. He really does remind me a lot of Big Ben, because he's such a big bear of a guy. There's so many B's I'm coming up with. This is kind of funny. He's such a big bear of a guy that he almost just swats the defenders off of him that are trying to hang on him and take him down, and he can outrun at least half to two-thirds of the people on the field, including other guys on the offense. Now, of course, we got some fast wide receivers, so I'm not talking about them. But he broke out some big runs. Denard ended up with a 4-yard average is everything, 11 carries for 44 yards, but it was a big 44 yards. He wasn't quite able to get some of the pushes he had before, but it between him and Bortles, it opened up just enough to where the pass game started to open up a little more, and it become a lot harder for the Giants to keep pace and to stop them. The guy to me that was just, we ended up with 4 sacks this weekend. I keep telling everybody, Jacksonville's getting all these sacks. They're getting all these great tackles and stuff. And we're really containing a lot of different things, and we're starting to be real big disruptors in the backfield. Chris Clemens, wow, what a great pickup that was, right? Seemed like every time I turned around, he was in the backfield. At one point, I thought Eli Manning may try to hand the ball off to him. I thought that'd be kind of funny. The guys with the sacks, though, Geno Hayes, the former Buccaneer, I remember following him years ago when I followed Tampa pretty closely, and, seeing as how one of the other shows on Impact Media's weekly lineup has to do with the Falcons, used to follow him many years because of that. Of course, Marks had 2, that was awesome, and then Alualu, or Tyson, I'll call him T.A., I can never say his name right, and I feel so bad for doing that. But if somebody wants to send me in the correct, that'd be great. But, he had one as well. I mean, they're getting the stats. They're getting the – they're forcing fumbles. They're getting the kinds of – Eli had 2 fumbles. Lost both of them. Larry Donnell lost that one that was ran all the way back. That was awesome. But, I mean, you can disrupt that team. There's other teams you can do the same thing to, and I'll get to that in a minute. Sure, Odell Beckham Jr. had 7 receptions for 90 yards, but last time I checked, he didn't do anything in the second half. I don't know why they wouldn't go to him in the second half. It baffles me, but I'm not the New York Giants, nor does it mean that much what they do to me right now. I don't know what their strategy was, but for some reason they just stopped going to the guy who's been making all the plays. I like to think that the reason they didn't go to him is because he was always covered pretty well. It seemed like the second half adjustments were exactly what was needed. 25-24 was the overall score on that one. Scobie had a big day. he usually has a pretty good day. So, I mean, you know. You know, getting Marquise Lee involved has been real big. We're able to get him 75 yards. Hearns had 42. Shorts is starting to step up. Clay Harbor's still a big part of it. A lot of people don't realize that the leading receiver for the Jaguars is Denard Robinson, who has actually it's Allen Robinson, not Denard Robinson. It's Allen Robinson. Denard is the rushing leader right now with 4 touchdowns and 552 yards, I believe. Allen Robinson, before he went out, 48 receptions, 548 yards, 2 touchdowns. Bortles, obviously the passing leader, completes about 65% of his passes or so. I'm good with that number. Almost 2,300 yards and 9 touchdowns. I'm good with those numbers. Remember the magic number I always say? More than 20, no more than 40, usually between 30 and 40 is what I like to say for a quarterback. Bortles had 35 passes. 21 of them were complete for 194 yards. He had the 1 touchdown. Beautiful looking throw, too. He was sacked 7 times. I'm a little concerned about that, but I feel like we can work on that. That can be fixed. Like I said, Jacksonville had 4 sacks. So, you know, New York has got a pretty good defense. They've always been pretty defense heavy anyway, and they're starting to get some of their younger players back. So, you know, I kind of expected some. I was hoping not as much. I really feel like on special teams, if we could make an extra wedge attempt or whatever's legal nowadays, but an extra little pop here or there and try to break a little bit bigger alley for Ace, I feel like Sanders can bring one home. He's so close to breaking one every time, and it's just like one slight, sometimes it's a missed tackle, sometimes it's maybe he went left and he should have went right. I'm not totally blaming anybody because they play some great cover teams. Special teams can win ball games. Ours are doing okay. You know, I think if we work on some formations or something like that, I feel like Ace is going to be able to break one. And same thing for Todman with the kick returns. But, hey, a win's a win. I'm happy. Technically, you're only one game behind the Giants. The Giants are 3-9. They're 1-5 away. The 2 wins that the Jaguars have are at home. But, you know, so what? If you look at a team like the Falcons, they've only beat people in their division. Who cares? A win's a win. You have as many wins. You're 2-10. You have the same record as the New York Jets. In fact, they're more talented than the Jets. They are. I mean, whether it's on paper, whether it's not on paper, doesn't really matter about all that kind of stuff. But, like I said, at one point, the Jaguars were down 21 points. A lot of teams give up at that point. They just start going, well, you know, we got a game next week right here at the bank against the Houston Texans. We'll just, you know, start trying to do some things for that. No. Came from behind from 21 points down. Bortles made a great comeback for one. But two, everybody started to play together, and everybody, when you play together as a unit and you all believe in the same thing, it's just like what happened last year when the team turned a corner a little after the halfway point. Everybody got on to the idea of where this team was going, and we got a lot of the right pieces in the right places. Injuries have kind of halted some of that this year, and obviously the inconsistent play of Chad Henne in the very beginning, but you know, I think Bortles is starting to come into his own a little bit. I think he's been doing quite well. But, you know, moving on from that, I do want to tell you about a few things I heard about this week. About the field. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but the Jaguars are trying to get some state funding, which is usually allocated to help improve stadiums in a state. They're trying to use some of the state allocations for a $18 million club-level renovation. It will take away a couple of the seats in that general area, but at the same time, they're looking to update all the stuff the same way they've been doing the rest of the stadium. Not sure if it's going to be tax related or anything like that, but it was part of a big bid they submitted last year that included the locker rooms and all those areas. The big thing to think about is they're not just fixing up the stadium so it looks nice, new, and shiny, and you can show it off to people. They're building this, you know, the things they did to the locker room, the training room, and the suite renovations. They make it to where there's more available meeting space that could be used by other groups, and when they're hosting big events, you know, who was it that came in? You know, you had the big soccer match where Fulham Football Club came in. Now, yeah, we all know that Mr. Khan owns Fulham, but what does that matter? They're a good soccer team in the English Premier League. They usually have solid performances and seasons. Sometimes they're at the very top, sometimes they're close to the top. They always put in good performances and stuff like that. I don't know a whole lot about them. I'm hoping to have some guys on here soon that know a lot more about it. But, you know, between that and the big video boards where you had Carrie Underwood come in for that concert and unveil those, all the jobs this has created, I think it was close to 1,000 temporary jobs when the renovations went up, and 227 permanent ones, including the new team that runs the video boards. I think another 500 temporary jobs if these bids go through. I mean, it's helping the economy. It's helped building everything. And Jacksonville is a community, and especially the fans that are ended up getting these jobs and such. It's now, that stadium is now a part of you, and you're a part of it because you helped build it. You can say, hey, I helped, you know, if it's, hey, I helped pour this pavilion, or maybe you... It could be as much as you carried something into the stadium that was used there. You put up a handrail, various things. You be proud of this stadium. It's as much Jacksonville as Jacksonville is it. It's a great stadium. All the stuff that's went into this, you know, the relationship between the Jaguars and London has a lot to do with all the things going on. We update the stadium here so that when... think about it this way. You want to keep your house nice and clean and neat so that when your friends come over, you can show them all the hard work you put into it and how proud of it you are. And at the same time, when you go over to their place, they're going to do the same thing. It's just the way the world works, or it's the way the world should work. Not everybody does this, but, you know, I think Fulham's going to be able to come in and do a couple more games, maybe even one that counts towards the regular season next year, which would be really cool. Even if it's just friendlies, that's cool as well. You know, the U.S. men's team played one of their last matches before going off on their recent tour. We're able to play there. These kinds of tie-ins are happening, and it's very awesome to have these kinds of things. They're not happening all over. Jacksonville's one of the main places they're happening, so that's really cool. But, you know, we're still waiting to see what the state says regarding the funding request. If possible... If all this gets decided on pretty quickly, you're going to have all this stuff up before the season next year, which is really cool. That doesn't always happen. Usually it's like, if the funding comes through now, then maybe in a handful of years we'll get this thing up and going and, you know, stuff like that. Guess we'll... Now it's time to preview the Houston Texans-Jacksonville Jaguars game at the Bank, of course, on December the 7th, which is, that's a 1 o'clock start. Fun division game here. I did hear the stat that if the Indianapolis Colts win this week and Jacksonville is able to defeat Houston, then the Colts would win the division, which, you know, to Jaguar fans may not be the most awesome thing in the world, but know that you can play spoiler and keep the Texans out. That's always kind of fun, knowing that you affected the playoffs, because the Jaguars have. and in mostly positive ways. You could say, well, this win propelled them to do this, or this loss. It doesn't matter. It may rain. I think there's a slim chance of rain during this game. It's not going to matter. Coming into this game, Ryan Fitzpatrick has almost the same yardage as Bortles. He has 17 touchdowns. You know, we're trying to get Bortles' touchdown number up. But as we saw in the second half, when you make adjustments and allow him to play a quick, hurry-up offense and allow him to zing the ball down the field, the kid can play. Of course, we'll have to game plan for Arian Foster. Approaching 1,000 yards, the guy can still play. They still have Andre Johnson and Hopkins as well that are big threats. I believe Hopkins is over 1,000 yards receiving. He's actually their top right now. When you look at the overall numbers and stuff, total yards they're getting, Jaguars are averaging 300, 350 for Houston. When you break that down, passing yards, Houston is 220 to 202 for Jacksonville. Rushing yards, Jags have a 98 average, which I'm okay with that. And it's only 46 more for the Houston Texans. I mean, Houston's having a pretty good year. And, J.J. Watt will be coming, and will be coming pretty hard. Pretty sure Clowney should be coming as well. Crick. Houston's got a pretty good young defense, but I trust our offensive line. I think one of the keys to the game here is not just containing J.J. Watt, but the front five being able to hold and give Bortles at least, 2.5-3 seconds to throw. Given if he gets a chance to at least go through half his progressions, he's going to find the open guys. The guys are getting open. He just needs the time to be able to do it. And he is, able to scramble out of the pocket a little bit to try to make the play. We'll see how that goes. As far as the defensive yards, combined, both these teams are pretty even. 383 for the Jags. Houston's a 382. So pretty close as far as the yards they're allowing. To me, our run defense has really stepped up recently. And if we can keep putting on the pressure and eliminate Arian Foster from running or anybody else they may trot out there, then you're going to force Ryan Fitzpatrick to have to throw a little more. And he's an okay passer. I hate to use the term game manager because he's kind of a game manager. He can make a couple big plays here and there, but for the most part he tries to make the careful smaller throws. So if we can make him try to take some shots, then I believe our guys are going to end up with some interceptions. I guess that would be my second key of the game. Third key of the game is let's try to keep this one close. And, I really think this could come down to a Scobie field goal. And in the process, I'm going to say 23-20 Jaguars, I believe, is going to be the score of this one. I give them a chance to win. They always have a chance to win. And not just because, they're due. Even Oakland won a game. No, Oakland's a different team. And I don't believe in the somebody's due. It's the Jaguars' time right now as far, and it's not like it's still being due or something. They got the pieces being put together. The guys are coming off the injured list and everything. Lewis is back. All these other key pieces that we've been using for a while. Bortles has found guys he likes to throw to. It hurts that Allen Robinson's not there, but at the same time, that means Cecil Short steps up. That means Clay Harbor gets more involved. There's all kinds of other pieces. It's the next man up mentality. It works for Seattle. It works for Cleveland. It works for Kansas City. It's the time for the Jaguars to make this big move right here. And I think they can win the last four games. Yeah, I know they have a rough road ahead of them and everything. If the draft happened today, and I'm not going to talk about who they should draft or anything like that, based off of the list I'm looking at, Jacksonville would have anywhere between the second, I think they would actually have the third pick more than likely, but anywhere between 2, 3, 4, or 5, I would imagine. But they're going to win a couple more games, and they'll still probably have a top 10 pick, and on later episodes we'll talk about it. My policy is I don't talk about the draft until at least week 16 show. You guys want to send me your draft ideas or analysis? Sure, go for it. But I won't even look at them until then, because I still don't consider the season over until the last game is played. Obviously, Jacksonville won't be in the playoffs this year, so the last game will be on week 17. But at the same time, this isn't over. They're going to keep fighting. They're going to keep digging. They're going to keep showing everybody what it's like to be a Jacksonville Jaguar, which is a really good thing. Like I said, 23-20 is what I'm going to go with. That's not just some random number off the top of my head. If you think about that logically, that means that Texans will probably score, I would imagine, a rush touchdown and a passing touchdown. And then they're going to have 2 field goals. The Jaguars are going to do the same thing. I think Robinson's going to run one in. Bortles is going to, I don't know, Bortles could run one in, because that Manziel run that I saw last week for the Browns, I pictured Bortles doing a very similar one, except for he wouldn't have ducked in between the defenders. He would have probably ran over them. Two different players, though. You know, I think Robinson's going to run one in. I think Bortles is going to find, I'm going to say he finds Allen Hurns in the back of the end zone for a touchdown, and then 3 Scobie field goals are going to win it. I very much think that's going to happen, and the defense is going to have at least 3 sacks on Fitzpatrick. I hope that as disruptive as the Texans can be, I hope they have 3 or less sacks, and that can be the other key to the game. If Jacksonville can be very disruptive, like they have been recently, and get at Fitzpatrick early, I think this is a very easy slam dunk win. But you know, that's going to do it for me for this week. I appreciate you guys always tuning in and checking in. And especially Latavia Thomas. I see that you're always promoting our show and everything, and I appreciate that. So I was going to give you a shout-out. I hope I said your name right. If not, I fully apologize. But I definitely appreciate everybody that's out there, and you know, I know it's tough being a Jaguars fan sometimes, but the rewards are so great. Like I said, Everbank is an awesome field, and I hope to see you guys out there soon. If you want to follow the show, you can follow us on Facebook or on the End Zone page that Impact Media puts out. We're also on Twitter at 3EndZone or at the Impact 99. If you want to send it to me directly, I will happily try to answer all your questions the best I can. Or if not, tell you who can answer it better. Like I said, trying to line up some cool guests for the rest of the year, and maybe even do a call-in show towards the end. But for Impact Media, I am Jeremy the Impact York. We'll see you guys next week, Duval.